morning. Welcome to the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chalaios, Todd Bettis with you, taking your calls 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. A lot of people standing by, Todd. But I want to make sure that you had completed your thoughts on magnesium and how to apply those other nutrients.
Well, the way to do that, the easiest, is to actually just mix it up in a 5-gallon bucket or something similar. So if you're putting down chelated iron and you're buying the lobster price stuff at the $25 a pound, then what you would do, depending on the size of the tree, if you have, you know, like a six inch wide trunk, I'd probably at least use half the can. But instead of having to dig little holes all over under the tree, what you can do is just mix up portions of the can in 5 gallons of water and then just walk back and forth under the drip line of the tree and pour that and just slowly work your way around the tree. And then when you're done, just get the hose out and water it in. But if you're doing some micros other than iron, you could easily mix in that into the water and just get it all done at once. In this situation, I don't usually recommend chelates, but humates. The reason I'm recommending a humate is that as those break down, they can temporarily allow or help iron go into solution and other micronutrients, and maybe even a little bit of elemental sulfur for the same reason, just so that they can do everything they can to get that tree green.
Okay, we've been talking about the autumn blaze maple with iron chlorosis, but does this apply to other trees as well?
It does. There are many, many trees that get iron chlorosis here because they lack the ability to take enough iron out of our soils. So my first recommendation is actually to not plant those trees, because then you don't have that struggle. And so you more adapt to trees, but autumn blaze maple is one of the top sellers at our local garden centers. And in many situations, it does get iron deficiency. And so we're left spending anywhere from $20 to $40 a year on the tree trying to keep iron available so we get that good red fall color.
Okay, when do they know that they should give up and the trees had it?
Well, if I've treated it for 2 or 3 years, and I would try the micronutrients this year to see if they help. If it doesn't help, it might be that the tree be repurposed into firewood, and if they want something that's going to be colorful in the fall, maybe a Japanese Zelkova or even some of the other maples like Pacific Sunset or Norwegian Sunset are much more adapted to our alkaline soil.
All right, let's take a call from Anime and Kearns. Good morning, Anime. How can we help you?
Maureen, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, certainly.
I've called into your show before, and you guys are wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
I have about 3 or 4 questions. They're going to be really quick. I've got kind of like moss that you see up in the forest in the shade. And the part of my yard that is getting the moss does not get a lot of sun. So I want to know, do I just scrape that stuff off? Do I spray it with something? What do I do?
You can try to dry the area out a little bit. But if it's cool and moist, especially in the spring and fall, it's common for that moss to just grow in those, what would be a foresty type area in the wild. If it's a problem, you can get a product called Moss Out.
And
a lot of Moss Out, M-O-S-S-O-U-T.
Okay.
And a lot of our local garden centers will carry that. I don't think you would find it at like a Walmart or Home Depot.
Is it a problem, though? I mean,
no,
does it cause any problems with the soil?
No, it's just there. And sometimes it's an indication that the soil may be a little too moist, especially if it's there in July and August. It may be that that area needs to be dried out just a little bit.
Well,
because it usually disappears in the summer.
Yeah, well, see, it's in the usually in the spring, but there's a wall, and then in the wintertime when the sun goes towards the itself, but in the springtime, it is all over that area. And so I'm going to try the moth out and dry it out completely. My second question is I want to let my garden go dormant. I have a husband who has been diagnosed with cancer. He can't get out there and help me. So I want to, but I got weeds. Do I dig up the weeds first and then round up like heck? And then when
No.
do I till in all the mulch that I have saved?
Well, here's the process I would follow is I would spray the weeds out first, make sure they're dead, and then go ahead and incorporate all the compost and do one tilling so that you can get the stubble of the weeds gone and the mulch incorporated into the soil. Now, you're probably going to have more weeds come up that you'll need to respray, but as long as you don't irrigate the garden area and control the weeds through the spring, you shouldn't get too many of them through the summer.
Okay.
Now, one thing you could try with this is putting in something like what we would call a green mulch, to where you would seed something like rye or barley or, you know, along those lines and let it come up. You don't want to let it go to seed, so there will be some work later on. But because you've got something growing in there, that it'll help outcompete the weeds for moisture and nutrients. And then because if you seed it fairly thick, it will also shade the soil and prevent a lot of weeds from germinating. But that in and of itself is some work. And the easier thing would probably just be to control the weeds through the spring, get your mulch tilled in after the weeds are dead, and then just leave it alone. Maybe go out and sprout spray.
This is vegetables only. I try to keep all the grass out of it. This is our vegetable garden area.
I recommended the green mulch, like the barley or rye or something like that, is if you seeded that in there, if you're not growing vegetables, it'll help stabilize the soil, help keep the soil healthy, and keep the weeds down. And the one thing that you would need to do, though, is make sure and not let that stuff go to seed, because, you know, a plant out of place is a weed, and you don't want rye or barley coming up in your garden next year if you do decide to grow vegetables again.
Okay, my last we have been calling you 3 years on woolly apple aphids. This is the third year we have tried to treat it. I think I can just cut that tree down. I don't think there's any way to save it. Am I correct?
Do you want to cut the tree down?
Well,
I definitely give you permission. If you want to try to save the tree, you could try a systemic.
I don't want... It's like... After my husband passes, it will be here with me alone in the house, and I don't want a bottle no more.
Okay.
And I want the shade, but I don't want to have to do the upkeep. You know what I mean?
Yes, I get your difficulty. And so it honestly may be less expensive to just cut the tree down and plant something maybe like a Canada Red choke cherry that will get to be a similar size, but it is...
Do choke cherries, are they messy? If I want...
They're little to no fruit. There's very little to no fruit on it. It has a red leaf. It does get some root suckers, but you can clip those back once a month. But the reason I recommend this particular tree is that it will grow a couple of feet a year, and it will stay, you know, down to that same size of the apple, but it will give you fairly fast shade.
All right, Anna Mae, thank you for your call this morning. Let's get in one text question before we take a break. This person asking, is it safe to use Roundup on weeds under a peach tree?
As long as they're not spraying Roundup on the trunk of the tree or on exposed roots. Roundup breaks down when it hits the soil relatively quickly, and it only stays active when it gets on foliage or inside of a plant.
All right, let's take a break. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. See, we have Glenn, Scott, Cal. Your calls are coming up next.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Marie and Ton taking your questions. Let's go directly to the phone lines and take a question from Glenn this morning. Good morning, Glenn.
Thank you for being on the air each week.
Thank you.
I have a neighbor with a front yard, 400 square feet of various types of grass, Johnson grass, etc. He wants to kill it and put sod on. How's the best way to kill it? I'm afraid if he uses Roundup, he'll get spray on my bushes that are less than a foot away. And I suggested clear plastic. So what's your ideas?
So how extensive is this grass again?
Well, it's 400 square feet, and it is well established. Different types of weedy grasses, good grass and terrible grass.
Well, if you wanted to cover the area with clear plastic and do that, so it's time for early May and leave it until October, that would definitely kill most everything there. And it would not get to your shrubs. But when you do that, if you have a lot of shrub roots underneath that grass that are in the top 6 inches of soil, it will also harm them. Are the grasses growing? You said they're about a foot away from your shrubs, but they're not growing right underneath the grasses?
They are not. They're not. It's just a small grassy area, and
okay.
I didn't realize you'd have to have clear plastic all year. So what's the best way to get for him to get?
Well, if you wanted to use something like Roundup, as long as you did something to protect the shrubs when it was sprayed, that Roundup is not going to be systemic and work its way into the shrub roots. And so even if you got some sheets of cardboard or, you know, even something along the lines of a sheet of plywood or OSB and just kind of stood it up along the edge of the grass, as you sprayed that grass out, the OSB or the cardboard, as you worked your way along, would protect the most of the drift from getting on the shrubs.
Okay. So Roundup is the way to go to get rid of the...
Well, it'd be the easiest as long as you can safely apply it.
Okay. And then how long after application before he puts the sod down?
You'll have to look at your label for specific instructions. Generally, it's anywhere from 7 to 14 days, but it varies by product, and so I can't really say for sure. But the label, I know they're kind of a mess to dig through, but the label will say a reseeding, what's called a pre-plant period or a reseeding period.
Okay. All righty.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning.
Thanks very much.
Let's take a call from Scott this morning in Riverton. Good morning, Scott.
Thank you for taking the call. Hey, so I've got a redbud tree. I live in Riverton, and it's about 4 years old. But this spring, I've noticed splits going up the trunk. What causes that? Or am I going to be able to save that tree?
Well, are the splits on the south or west side of the tree?
You say that, and they are on the southwest side of it, all one side.
Yeah, I suspect it's winter injury from the sun heating the bark up, and then the bark freezes at night because it has sap flow, and it bursts the conductive tissue cells on the tree. And so what I would do is the tree can recover from it, as long as it's not too severe. In the fall, I would consider wrapping the trunk with what's called tree tape, and it's just a fabric or gauze tape without any sticky on it that you wrap the trunk into the lower limbs, and then you would take that off in March, and that should be enough to protect the trunk in the winter and have it recover. Now, the redbud trees are a little bit finicky. They're not usually very long-lived, and they just sometimes do funny things. But this particular case sounds like southwest winter injury.
Okay, so just tree tape in the fall, then. We'll probably save it.
Yeah. Yeah, if the bark sloughs off, you may need to take a sharp knife or a razor cutter and just cut the bark back so you don't have jagged bark everywhere. But otherwise, it should recover on its own over a period of a couple of years.
All right, Scott, thank you for your call this morning. We need to take a break for the top of the hour news. We have now put up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page our Ivory Homes Green Tip of the Day. It really tells you some things you can do with your sprinklers to make sure that you are saving water. And we'll be right back.